I make it to the pier with 5 minutes to spare, thanks to the driver's valiant swerving along Seaport Boulevard. With a quick thanks, I'm out of the lift and charging for the Bay State ticket booth, phone chiming in one hand and a backpack clutched in the other. "Zarabian," I say to the attendant before he has a chance to ask. "Alex." After glancing at the screen of my phone and seeing it's not Mina, I silence the damn thing. Everything else can wait. God, how I wish that were true. I set the phone on vibrate, and it instantly buzzes against my palm. Still not Mina. It's going to take more than a slew of conciliatory texts to fix this, and that's why I'm skipping town 48 hours early. "I called this morning," I say to the guy in the booth, "to change the ticket." He squints at his screen and hesitantly types a few letters. "Arabian, you said?" I say my last name again, then spell it. "I'd hate to miss the boat," I add, as if that's going to make a difference to him. He shifts his weight as he taps the keys. "Round trip? Coming back Sunday?" "Yeah, yeah." I watch as the printer extrudes my ticket, as he plucks it from the slot in no apparent hurry. "Make sure you keep the return part," he drones. "You'll have to pay if they need to reprint it for you in Provincetown." I've snatched it from his fingers before he's finished talking. His voice fades as I jog down the walkway. The usual line has dissipated. Everybody else is already on board, and the boat's engines are running. I offer my ticket to the guy standing near the gangway, and he tears off the top and hands me the rest. A tangle of bikes clogs the bow, and the strap of my pack catches on a handlebar when I try to edge by. My t-shirt is sticking to my back, and the bar is singing my name. I duck into the first floor cabin and toss my bag onto one of the last available seats. There's been a knot in my gut since Mina left Monday morning, shoving her laptop and legal pads into her bag, murmuring that she needed time, while I sat at the table with my lukewarm coffee and my tongue cocked, ready to pick up the fight where we left off. The ferry lurches into motion and glides through Boston Harbor, beginning its swoop along the south shore before angling toward the tip of Cape Cod. 90 minutes to McMillan Pier, less than 2 hours to Mina. I consider texting her one last time to let her know I'm on my way, but then I think better of it. Though I'm not great at romantic gestures, this situation seems to call for one, and my texts haven't yielded results thus far. I pull up a browser, find the florist closest to the pier, and order a bouquet. I'm not even off the phone before it buzzes with a text. "Not from Mina, but just as good," which is a weird thing to say about a message from one's ex. I smile as a picture of my daughter fills the screen. Gap-toothed grin, dark eyes bright, hair wet, and skinny arms encircled with orange floaties. "She ducked her head underwater today. She wanted me to tell you that she's not scared anymore." I run my thumb across the image of my kid. This perfect little person who inexplicably thinks I know everything and I'm the best person in the world, who has my eyes but her mother's dimples, and tap out a reply. "Tell Devon I'm proud of her. I'll take her to the pool next weekend." Caitlin's response comes within seconds, leaving me to wrestle aside the irony that my ex-wife is speaking to me when my current wife is not. "You should have seen her today. It all just clicked, and now she's like a little fish. The instructor is great. You were right that we shouldn't let her avoid the water."
"You were right? Why didn't you realize that when we were married?"
I add a winking emoji to convey the obvious, which is that even if she had, and despite the fact that we seemed to have everything in the world going for us, we were probably doomed from the start.
"Very funny. See you on Monday? Or is Mina picking her up next week?"
My stomach goes tight. "Not sure yet. I'll let you know."